Gatsby walked over and stood beside her. "Daisy, that's all over now," he said earnestly. "It doesn't matter anymore. Just tell him the truth, that you never loved him, and it's all wiped out forever." She looked at him blindly. "Why, how could I love him, possibly? You never loved him." She hesitated. Her eyes fell on Jordan and me with a sort of appeal, as though she realized at last what she was doing, and as though she had never all along intended doing anything at all. But it was done now. It was too late. "I never loved him," she said, with perceptible reluctance. "Not at Kapiolani?" demanded Tom suddenly. "No." From the ballroom beneath, muffled and suffocating chords were drifting up on hot waves of air. "Not that day I carried you down from the punch bowl to keep your shoes dry?" There was a husky tenderness in his voice. "Daisy? Please don't." Her voice was cold, but the rancor was gone from it. She looked at Gatsby. "There, Jay," she said. But her hand, as she tried to light a cigarette, was trembling. Suddenly she threw the cigarette and the burning match on the carpet. "Oh, you want too much," she cried to Gatsby. "I love you now. Isn't that enough? I can't help what's past." She began to sob helplessly. "I did love him once, but I loved you too." Gatsby's eyes opened and closed. "You loved me too?" he repeated. "Even that's a lie," said Tom savagely. "She didn't know you were alive. Why, there are things between Daisy and me that you'll never know, things that neither of us can ever forget." The words seemed to bite physically into Gatsby. "I want to speak to Daisy alone," he insisted. "She's all excited now." "Even alone, I can't say I never loved Tom," she admitted in a pitiful voice. "It wouldn't be true." "Of course it wouldn't," agreed Tom. She turned to her husband. "As if it mattered to you," she said. "Of course it matters. I'm going to take better care of you from now on." "You don't understand," said Gatsby with a touch of panic. "You're not going to take care of her anymore."
"I'm not?"
Tom opened his eyes wide and laughed. He could afford to control himself now.
"Why's that?"
"Daisy's leaving you."
"Nonsense."
"I am, though," she said, with a visible effort.
"She's not leaving me."
Tom's words suddenly leaned down over Gatsby. "Certainly not for a common swindler who'd have to steal the ring he put on her finger."
"I won't stand this," cried Daisy. "Oh, please, let's get out."
"Who are you, anyhow?" broke out Tom. "You're one of that bunch that hangs around with Meyer Wolfsheim. That much I happen to know. I made a little investigation into your affairs, and I'll carry it further tomorrow."
"You can suit yourself about that, old sport," said Gatsby steadily.
"I found out what your drug stores were."
He turned to us and spoke rapidly.
"He and this Wolfsheim bought up a lot of side street drug stores here and in Chicago and sold grain alcohol over the counter. That's one of his little stunts. I picked him for a bootlegger the first time I saw him, and I wasn't far wrong."
"What about it?" said Gatsby politely. "I guess your friend Walter Chase wasn't too proud to come in on it."
"And you left him in the lurch, didn't you? You let him go to jail for a month over New Jersey. God, you ought to hear Walter on the subject of you."
"He came to us dead broke. He was very glad to pick up some money, old sport."
"Don't you call me old sport," cried Tom.
Gatsby said nothing.
"Walter could have you up on the betting laws, too, but Wolfsheim scared him into shutting his mouth."
That unfamiliar yet recognizable look was back again in Gatsby's face.
"That drugstore business was just small change," continued Tom slowly. "But you've got something on now that Walter's afraid to tell me about."
I glanced at Daisy, who was staring terrified between Gatsby and her husband, and at Jordan, who had begun to balance an invisible but absorbing object on the tip of her chin. Then I turned back to Gatsby and was startled at his expression. He looked, and this is said in all contempt for the babbled slander of his garden, as if he had killed a man. For a moment, the set of his face could be described in just that fantastic way. It passed, and he began to talk excitedly to Daisy, denying everything, defending his name against accusations that had not been made. But with every word, she was drawing further and further into herself. So he gave that up, and only the dead dream fought on as the afternoon slipped away, trying to touch what was no longer tangible, struggling unhappily, undespairingly, toward that lost voice across the room. The The voice begged again to go.
Please, Tom, I can't stand this anymore.